The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wins the AFC East. It's up for grabs now. And what's the over-under? What week? When Tua Tagovailoa finally sees the field in year one. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. But the breaking news of the day is Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was seen on top of and ultimately killing George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was arrested today and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter, according to Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman. I want to talk about that and more with ESPN reporter and co-host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio. He covers college basketball and combat sports. It's Myron Metcalf here on The Will Cain Show. Myron, before we get into some serious discussion, I think you're a great guy to just follow the conversation we were just having. And you and I were talking about during the commercial break. John Jones versus Deontay Wilder. We were trying to compare pay-per-view buys for a UFC fight headlined by John Jones versus a boxing buy headlined by Deontay Wilder. And you were making a great point about sharing the revenues.
Deontay Wilder is not sharing as much as John Jones is, and it makes sense because if you get a Deontay Wilder fight, you want to see him fight. You're not really there for anybody else. John Jones, it's the power of the card, and he's kind of the top guy, but he alone isn't why you're purchasing that card. The numbers are actually similar. I mean, I think John Jones's biggest fight was $1.5 million or so. Deontay Wilder, I don't know if he's been above that number. But the sharing is the big difference.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense to me. If I buy a fight in boxing, I'm there for that fight. And the undercards are something I kind of sit through. Or I may not. I might just wait for the bell to ring on the big fight. But if you buy a UFC card, you're really watching four or five fights. You're buying it most of the time for more than just one fight, except as you pointed out, Connor. Connor's the one guy you'll buy it for one fight, right?
Yeah, and I think Connor is the guy that has probably made a lot of folks in the UFC think, hey, I want that too. But you're not Connor. There's only one Connor McGregor who can control a promotion the way that he does, who can bring in those casual fans. So you're not going to get anything close to what he gets for a fight.
So split that share up real quick, Myron. Do you know anything? Like, I mean, we know Deontay Wilder made $30 million in his rematch with Fury. I don't know what he made in the first fight. What is a guy like John Jones making?
John's around $10 million. I mean, Daniel Cormier said he made $5 million apiece for his John Jones fights. John Jones probably double that. You know, I know Brock Lesnar in his heyday was making $8 to $10 million a fight. Rousey was in that same range. Connor's making way more than that. But I think if he wants $20 or $30 million, there's not a lot of reasons to justify that if you're Dana White. I'm not trying to side with the boss necessarily, but John Jones doesn't carry that kind of financial weight the way that he thinks he does.
It's good stuff. That's good insight. Myron Metcalf here on the Will Cain Show. So, Myron, do you live in Minnesota? I don't know if I knew that about you, but do you live there?
Been there for 20 years, man. Yep, I'm in the Minneapolis area.
How about that? Okay, man. I've had conversations yesterday and today with Lewis Riddick and Damian Woody, and I'm here for this open conversation. What I've said is this. What's obvious is it's just outrageous, injustice, awful, what happened with everything that's gone down over there in Minneapolis over the last, what has it been now? That was on Memorial Day, Monday.
4 days.
Since Monday. So I think the way to have a conversation is just kind of open the floor to you. You know, what are your thoughts right now?
I feel like I'm in a city that is about to explode and has been over the last 3 nights. I think everything is tense. I've heard all the sides of it. I got friends who own businesses that have been damaged and they're boarding up their businesses. I know people who are afraid getting out of town. But I know a lot of people who are outraged and I think their anger is justified. Doesn't mean you agree with the actions, but certainly the anger from what happened on Monday it's something where I don't know how anyone can say that this should be the reaction to something like that. It's just so terrible. And to watch it unfold, it has created a very, very tense situation in city. I think a lot of people here are afraid.
Hey, Myron, let's have this conversation. As I'm listening to you, I want to own some of my own. I don't think it's inconsistencies, but I can see how people would be really upset with me, for example. First of all, I want to just reiterate, awful, like criminal. criminal, awful criminal, what happened to George Floyd. You brought up the riots and the way people are feeling about their businesses and their fear level, right? And I want to say, like, protest is 100% legitimate and deserved. Destruction is not. Obviously, violence is not. But then you could say, well, Will, you were a guy who said, you know, Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protest didn't do it for you either. And I think that's a very fair point. Like, what works for you, Will? You know, what kind of protests, you know, are you going to say is okay? And this is what I would say. I think all of us can agree that violence and destruction aren't the solution. I don't think there's anybody or most people. There might be some who think that's some kind of productive path forward. The thing about these conversations and why, for example, with me with Kaepernick was a problem was overgeneralizing, right? So what with Kaepernick, I didn't like the broad indictment of America, right? It was just too broad of an indictment of America. But I don't think that can stop us or should stop us or stop me from looking at instances like this and going, whoa, this is injustice in action, and it has to be fixed.
Yeah, I guess my response to all of that is, what does work for America? You know, what would they accept in terms of a form of protest? And I think here's the other thing. And I know a lot of people in this city of all backgrounds. The protesters, for the most part, are peaceful. And we're not seeing enough of those images, but there have been a ton of protests throughout the city and thousands of people have marched peacefully and they haven't destroyed anything. Mm-hmm. Now you've got a pocket of people who are, and they're getting all the attention, but that's certainly not the bulk, of the people who are out there and frustrated. I will also say that someone has to tell me what to do with all of this anger.
Right.
This is not an officer making a split second decision and then we decide if that was justified or not. This is 9 minutes, man.
No,
this
man.
Is 9 minutes of an officer having an option and an opportunity to not do what he did and instead doing it and doing it as people are pleading for George Floyd's life. This is a different kind of situation. And because of that, there's a different level of emotion and it makes you feel, Will, as a minority, not just here in Minnesota, but anywhere. It makes you feel like your life doesn't have value. And that is a difficult thing to process. And that fuels the emotions attached to what everybody is seeing. You got people out there who are saying, nobody cares about me and you want me to be peaceful. I've tried that. That hasn't worked. Now I'm going to do something to get attention. Whether you think it's right or wrong, the question becomes, somebody tell me the proper solution to digesting this level of anger.
Couple of things. I hope I remember them all, what you just said. I hear you. I do. And I believe you on what that makes you feel. 100%. I think one of the things I think that we can take some encouragement out of is what you said about this officer and his actions. I have seen almost 100% condemnation. Myron, I don't know what you've seen, but right, left, white, black, I have seen almost 100% condemnation. I'm sure we can find some online social media trolls of some kind, right? But I have seen almost 100% condemnation of this. Then there's the question you bring up as well, like what will work? Now, look, when we answer that, to me, that's not what works for me. You know, that's not what this, I'm talking about what I think also works to create improvement. And I think you're right about the protests. I imagine, unfortunately, it doesn't take a majority to create that kind of destruction, right? And of course, a fire is going to attract a camera. That's going to happen. But I don't know, man. I acknowledge the question you ask, and I think it's a fair one, and I think the frustration in that question is fair as well. I don't have the answer. I don't think it is, you know. Again, I've said it, but I don't think it's destruction and violence. I think it's a
narrowly. And I'm not saying that either, Will. I want to make that clear.
I know you're not. I don't know, Myron. Narrowly tailored conversations and solutions to specific problems. I mean, I know that's generic sounding, right? But like, how do you solve problems? That's generally how you do it, regardless of what the problem is.
Well, one, I think, and then if, you know, my grandfather had these same questions that I'm wrestling with now as did my dad, right? So like, you've got generational situations where people have said, why does this continue to happen? I'll give you a scenario being someone in this area right now, right? I was driving today and coincidentally today an officer pulled up behind me, not because I'd done anything wrong. He just happened to make the turn and I immediately grabbed my steering wheel and I slowed down in the middle of traffic because in my mind, I'm going, this is a very tense city. I don't know what's going to happen. Am I getting pulled over? Am I not? And guess what? This officer is probably wondering the same thing. I'm in the middle of this tent city. People probably think officers are the enemy. And that is sort of the moment you have right now. Like, nobody trusts anybody. Everyone's sort of waiting for the next explosive moment. It's a really, really sad time to be in the Minneapolis area right now.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting perspective. You know, the thing I've tried to learn, Myron, and I'm look, like, I put a lot of stock in, okay, black and white. What I mean by that is, like, research, data, logic, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah. But got to give a little more index to feelings and experience, you know? I know that's one of the reasons I want to hear that story from you. I want to hear Lewis Riddick talk about what that's feel like, because we're going to have to find a solution that compensates or takes all of that into account. I promise. Like, it's going to have to bring all that to the table at the same time. Yeah. All right, man. I don't know where we got anywhere here, but I do appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
Okay. It's Myron Metcalf, ESPN reporter here on The Will Cain Show. Coming up, my AFC East preview. What's the over-under on when Tua Tagovailoa plays? Plus, let's go ahead and finalize the big board, do our drafting soon. Superhero movies. That's the homework. Coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to draft our homework. It's superhero movies this weekend. Who will draft the best and who will draft the worst? That's coming up in just a minute on The Will Cain Show. We've been previewing the AFC East today. My prediction for the AFC East. I told you earlier today that I believe over a 3 to 5 year span, I believe it'll still be the New England Patriots. I'm betting on the best coach in the division. Over the best quarterback, who I believe is Sam Darnold. Over the best young core, which I believe is the Miami Dolphins, and over the best current team, which is the Buffalo Bills. But for this 1 year, this year, my prediction for the AFC East goes like this here. I believe the Dolphins have another year at the bottom of the AFC East. I believe the Jets have another year near the bottom of the AFC East in third. I do believe the Patriots aren't going anywhere away. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't think they're going to win the AFC East, but I think they're going to be a problem still. I believe the division will belong to the Buffalo Bills in 2020. Now, the question then becomes, when do the Dolphins turn to Tua Tagovailoa? Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's football analyst, has said it should not be this year. Listen.
There is no chance Tua should play in the NFL this year. No chance. Zero. I don't care if the Dolphins are 0-15 going into the last week of the season. Tua should not play. I've said that all offseason. That's why I thought Miami was the best place for Tua to go, because their general manager, Chris Greer, is in lockstep with their head coach, Brian Flores, in the long term. They proved last year that they are very much so the future of that organization. And so if they're struggling to get wins this year, they do not feel pressure to go, I've got to get my young quarterback on the field to prove to my owner that there's a future here or hope here and for me to keep my job. There should be no chance that Tua touches the football field this year.
That's not going to happen. When you draft a quarterback that high, they play almost invariably. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, they play almost invariably. It probably won't come true for Jordan Love in Green Bay, but I'd have to suspect it is going to come true for Tua Tagovailoa. Look, man, he's healthy. I think the hip is looking pretty good. I don't know what the coronavirus impact will be on this decision making, but I know that usually a rookie quarterback drafted that high, he's going to see the field, probably set the over-under at five games, week five. So what will happen with Tua? If you look through the Dolphins' schedule, I think you can come up with one of two places where he will see his first start. Ryan Fitzpatrick will get the first three games at the Patriots, Bills, and Jaguars. he's going to get his stretch. I told you week 4 or 5 is the traditional over-under on probably putting a high draft or rookie quarterback in. But that's not going to happen with Tua either, I don't think. Week 4, the Dolphins are home against the Seahawks. I don't think the Seahawks are who you're starting your career against. I don't think that's right. And then it gets worse in week 5. They go on the road to the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if there'll be fans in the stands or not, but there'll be a defense on the field, a big-time defense. So I don't think Tua is going to make that start in week 5 either. Then you go 2 Mile High in Denver to play the Broncos. Also a good defense and not the best place on the road to get your first start. So I don't think it happens for Tua there. And then you get your first real shot for Tua to get a start. That is week 7 at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know how good the Chargers are going to end up being this year, but that's at home. And then it follows like this. The Rams at home the week after that. Then they go to the Cardinals. Then they have the Jets at home. I believe that's a stretch where Tua could get his start. Home games against the Chargers and Rams and a road game against the Cardinals. Week 7 is the first opportunity for Tua to get a start. Now there's another spot if they want to wait a little bit longer that looks pretty attractive, and that is week 10, where you could be at home against a division rival in the New York Jets, who also are not very good. Then you get a bye week and you come back and you play the New York Jets again in week 12 on the road. But essentially you're looking at Tua getting to start at home, get a bye between two starts, and play the same team 2 out of 3 weeks. A not very good team in the New York Jets. That's a pretty attractive place to give Tua his start. Week 10, Jets, bye, week 12, Jets again. Probably learn from what went wrong the first time or right the first time against the Jets. Seeing the same defense, the same team, the same film study for 3 weeks essentially. It's a good place for Tua to get started. And then after that, it's Bengals in 13. It's Chiefs. It's Patriots. It's Raiders. I think that's the place to start him. If you're being conservative in week 10, if you want to be aggressive, bump it up to that home game week 7 against the Chargers. That's the over-under on when I expect we will see Tua Tagovailoa get his start with the Dolphins. Let's draft our movies. David from Vista says, here's one more. We got to put this one. Is David still there? So you just take him off, Nuno.
Yeah, he just dropped.
You listen to a little Trump audio there, Nuno?
Yep. Listening to his comments on George Floyd.
Yep, just go to you, and we can see what you're paying attention to during the Will Cain Show.
That's good.
This is how you tweet out that we interviewed Clay Travis and not Clay Hilton, just
for
the record.
Do you blame me?
Why are you listening to Trump right now?
I thought he was going to break, and I was listening to his remarks on George Floyd.
Did you turn your own mic on while Trump's video was playing, or did Bubba turn that on?
I hit it. I stopped. I thought I stopped the video.
No, you didn't.
Wow,
okay, let's
do
the big board is set. All right. Let's draft. For homework this weekend, superhero movies. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Time to draft our weekend homework. It's superhero movies, and this is the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We do this every week. It's our homework during the quarantine stay-home orders, which are loosening. We'll have to ask ourselves how long we keep doing this movie competition. But every weekend, every Friday, everybody on the show here, Mike A., Bubba, Nuno, Pat, myself, have drafted our favorite movies from a given genre. We've done legal thrillers. We have done buddy cop movies. We've done movies at sea. We've done psychological thrillers, stand-up comedy specials. And last week, I won in the category of, I don't remember. What did we do last week?
Spy movies.
Spy movies. I won that one. Correct. With Argo. Which means I picked the category this weekend. And the homework this weekend will be superhero movies. We have an issue on the show. Pat has opted out of this weekend.
Pat is an issue on the show.
Pat is an issue in general, and it's perhaps not good for the life of this bit that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, months really. But he went home to visit his folks in Philadelphia, and he doesn't want to watch superhero movies with his folks. I don't know what kind of canasta they're going to play, but he doesn't want to watch superhero movies with his folks. So Pat tapped out. So the issue is, do we invite you, the listener, in to pick the fifth movie? The only way to do that is we do have a few listener nominations. If you want to get in quick, go to the Will Cain Show or at Will Cain on Twitter feed and start bombarding the movies. We're going to lean on whatever's most popular, but there is a leader in the clubhouse should it not get drafted. But superhero movies, we reconvene on Tuesday and we vote.
How are we going to punish Pat? This is most important.
I am going to either nominate you or Bubba to establish that, because you two have the highest level of hatred for Pat. So I think you should be in charge of the punishment.
Bubba.
I mean, we got the weekend to think about it.
All right. Come back with something good on Monday. All right, let's have our draft. Last place was claimed last week by Bubba in his nomination of MacGruber as the best spy movie. So he drafts first in superhero movies. Just to set the board, Bubba, here's what's been mentioned. Of course, there's all of the Marvel Avengers series. There is the Dark Knight series, the old Batman as well. What are the Dark Knight 3 trilogy movies named? What is it?
Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, is Dark Knight Rises the one with Bane?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then you've got Meteor Men, Mystery Men, Toxic Avenger, special shout out to Thor Ragnarok, Deadpool, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Logan, and Super. That's what's been mentioned by callers on the big board today. Yeah, it's a weak big board. Is that what you think, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the Marvel Cinematic Universe is 17 movies, and so nobody's just taking the time to say all of those as well, but you obviously are welcome to pick from those. Or the old Superman movies if you want as well. So, there you go. I think there's actually a big, big board. Bubba, you have the first pick, sir. Take it away.
All right. Superhero movies, huh? Let's do it. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any of the Marvel,
over,
Avengers, any of those things. Thors, I haven't really seen any of those. I've seen the original Superman, seen the original Batmans. Unfortunately, Captain Planet was just a TV show. I really would have liked to have gone there. I do like the environment. I have seen The Dark Knight, and I'm going to have to go with that if we're sticking with the theme of favorite in the genre. So my selection will be The Dark Knight.
Which one? Which one is that?
It's the one called The Dark Knight.
That's the Joker one. That's the number two.
Okay. I think that's the right one. I think you're the leader in the clubhouse. I don't know. I have last pick. Mike thinks there's a lot that could beat you. So, I think you have the next pick, Matt, because Pat's not here.
Nuno is actually next.
So who's Matt?
And yeah, who's Matt?
I said Pat.
No, you said Matt.
No, you said Matt.
I said Pat.
I think you wanted to say Mike, and then you went to Pat, so you just combined them and said Matt.
I would never do something like that, ever.
I think you did.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Nuno.
I'm just going
to pause the Trump videos. It's time for your turn to draft.
I mean, like, I can't wait till next week. So, I'll just make this simple. I'm going 2002. I'm going Spider-Man.
The first one?
Yes, the 2002 one, yes.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh, you just got last place.
Wow. Okay.
Really with that. Okay.
Listen, you guys judge me enough. I don't need you judge me.
You know what? Yesterday, you did vote for yourself on sensitivity. Here's what I figured out about you.
No, emotional.
You are really emotional. You can take one punch, but three punches and you're out, dude. If we hit you three times, you are such a victim. We called you out on the Clay Travis, Clay Helton thing. That was not good. That really put you on your heels. Then you got caught watching Trump videos with your mic on, and now you're ice skating. And then you drafted Spider-Man 2002, and you feel like the whole world's against you.
Am I wrong?
Let me ask you this. Have you seen the movie?
Have, hence why I chose it.
Listen, it's a good movie. It's an okay choice.
With the second
new Spider-Mans
pick, you know?
Are better. All right,
you know what the problem is? See, I worked myself up thinking I knew what the 1 and 2 picks were going to be, and I set dead set on what I was going to take 3. But now this other movie is staring at me in the face, and I got to take it. And you've kind of ruined my whole afternoon, Nuno, so thank you for that. I'm going to take one that actually got them to make another movie because it was so good. I'm going to take Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, that was my pick, Mike. You just took my pick from me. Yeah. I think that's the only thing that potentially could rival Bubba with The Dark Knight. I like the Bane one. So you took Thor Ragnarok from me. There's the Bane. There's the Dark Knight Rises. There's Deadpool. The listeners are really telling me I have to take Logan. I've never seen it. Should I pull a Nuno?
You should never pull a Nuno. That's never somebody to emulate.
But people are saying I could win with that. I don't think I'm going to win. Would I win with Deadpool? I don't know that I would.
I don't want to tell you how to do your thing, but there's a couple of Avenger movies. I'm not saying like Marvel Cinematic. There's a couple of Avenger movies on the board that did pretty well.
At this point, there are no rules in the game. The game is what the game is, bro.
Okay.
MacGruber, the rules have changed.
The game's the game.
All right, I take Deadpool. And that leaves Logan on the board, which the listeners are saying could be a winner. Mike, you're a big superhero guy. Did you see Logan?
I did. I don't remember liking it as much as the listeners are saying.
Okay, but let me go really quickly.
I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Hold on, let me hear something. Tim in Idaho, real quick. Tim, what should we pick? What should be a listener nomination?
Oh, Man of Steel. But whoever got the Dark Knight is going to win because that's the best superhero movie and regular movie of all time.
Man of Steel.
I don't think Man of Steel's making it. I think you're right on Dark Knight, but I don't know about that Man of Steel. Travis from Illinois, really quick. What's up, Travis?
It's definitely Dark Knight, that's for sure. I have to go with the Avengers not Endgame, the one before it, the Infinity War. I think
that
it's actually
been
the better of the two.
That would have been my pick had Thor Ragnarok been off the board.
Should I have picked Guardians of the Galaxy, Mike? That was a good one, too.
You could have won with that one.
You think I could have won with Guardians of the Galaxy over Deadpool?
Sure, I think you can win with Deadpool.
Should we put a listener nomination in? The one on social media that we're getting the most is Logan. Should we make a fifth and see if the listeners can just beat Pat?
It's not like you guys are going to watch my movie, so you're good.
I'm looking forward to watching it. I haven't watched it in probably like 10 years. I'm looking forward to watching it now.
Let's throw a listener nomination in with Logan, okay? There's your 5 movies. Logan, Deadpool, Thor Ragnarok, Dark Knight, and Spider-Man from 2002. There you go. That's your weekend homework. We'll come back next week and find out who nominated the best movie. The Will Cain Show's Weekend Preview is brought to you by Geico. Learn more about Geico's 15% credit on car or motorcycle policies at geico.com/giveback. I asked earlier, is Sam Darnold the best quarterback in the AFC? So let's finish off our preview and say, Sam Darnold, Tua, or is it another quarterback that's the best in the AFC East? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The Buffalo Bills may win the AFC East this year. The New England Patriots may still own it for another 3 to 5 years, but who's got the best quarterback in the division? Is it Sam Darnold? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. The breaking news of the day is Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, was arrested Friday and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman said. We've talked about that throughout the day. We've talked about it with Lewis Riddick and Myron Metcalf. You can hear that all on the Will Cain Show podcast, plus a conversation yesterday with Damian Woody that we're going to extend next week. Much longer conversation on the state of things in this country. Talked about the AFC East all day today. And I told you I thought the New York Jets had the best quarterback in the division. Field Yates, ESPN's NFL insider and fantasy football expert, he agrees with me that the quarterback competition in the AFC East starts with the Jets.
But it starts with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was number one amongst my AFC East starting quarterback rankings, with Tua behind him, then Josh Allen, and then Jared Stidham.
So Fields' ranking was Darnold, Tua, Allen, and Stidham. But Ryan Clark, who was on Get Up, he had a different ranking, and he had a different quarterback that he was taking first overall. Listen to this.
Tua, Sam, Josh, Jared. I don't even think that's really a difficult decision to make. I think you go Tua Tagovailoa first, just because you haven't seen the bad in the NFL, and you know he does have a great upside. He didn't have the turnover issues that Sam Darnold has. But when you look at Sam's arm talent, I put him over Josh. I put him over Jared Stidham. And I think if you get some people around him, Greeny, you can finally change your kids' names back to Sam and Darnold.
So the problem with that analysis, I think, is that we haven't seen the good from Tua either. Yeah, it's true, we haven't seen the bad, but we haven't seen the good either. So Ryan's reading in a bunch of potential upside, positivity into Tua, and that's fine, that's fair, that's what we always do with rookie quarterbacks. We've already seen the warts on Darnold and Allen, but Allen's also accomplished some things. I mean, Allen has been the guy who has taken his team to the playoffs and had some ups and downs, but definitely had some ups in that playoff appearance. And I guess that's why, as a third entry, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck says it's the quarterback in Buffalo.
Well, with a three-year window, I'm going Josh Allen. I just think the confidence that he has kind of started to play with, the immense talent that he has, the coaching stability that appears to be there in Buffalo, now surrounding him with better talent, Stephon Diggs now in Buffalo. I think it's going to be Josh Allen. And I think that you can make an argument for some of the other players, the quarterbacks in that division, but listen, I think they all kind of have certain situations that make me a little bit uneasy. That's why I go with Josh Allen.
So there you have it. There's a vote for Allen. There's a vote for Tua. Count my vote for Sam Darnold. Allen is talented. He's talented with his legs, and he makes some big-time plays, but he still has accuracy problems. He still has plays where you're like, wow, why'd you miss that so badly? Tua may end up being great. We have to recognize that we're still looking at about a 50-50 draft bust proposition when it comes to first-round quarterbacks, and all of them come in very heralded. Let's not like pretend like some of these guys were sketchy to start with. They all come in very heralded. Hank, the guy who is third string in Miami, Josh Rosen, came in very heralded just a few years ago, and it hasn't worked out for him in the NFL. I'm not writing the same kind of future for Tua. All I'm saying is bake in the risk. I like Tua's upside, but we've already seen, yes, some warts, but also some positivity from Sam Darnold, some potential, some good stuff. I don't know, man. We have the mono year that made everything weird. He's had a coaching change. I think the talent is still the highest of all the quarterbacks in the AFC East with Sam Darnold. Of course, we're not even mentioning what could be the wild card in Jarrett Stidham, but why would we rank him above these others? We don't know that, except that Bill Belichick seems to be fairly confident in a short-term future with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. No, upside, talent, concerns that he has the coach to bring him along, but if you ask me any of these four you can have right now, I'm going to go Darnold 1, Tua 2, Allen 3, and Stidham 4. You can have those quarterbacks to build your franchise around. What order do you take them? That's the order I take the AFC East quarterbacks in. UFC returns this weekend. It is event number 4. And I think Tyron Woodley will get in the zone this weekend. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Okay, the weekend homework is set. We put in a listener or audience entry as well. And our weekend homework looks like this here. Superhero movies. We watch The Dark Knight as nominated by Bubba. Thor Ragnarok by Mike A. Spider-Man from 2002 by Nuno. Deadpool by Will, me, and the most popular, I think, listener entry, Logan. That's our five. We'll come back on Tuesday. We'll be on the show Monday, but we're going to put off voting till Tuesday now and decide who had the best and who had the worst entry. And as we end the show today on this Friday, I'll leave you with this breaking news from ESPN's NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. The NBA is planning a Thursday vote of the Board of Governors with an expectation that owners will approve Adam Silver's recommendation on a format to restart the season in Orlando, sources tell ESPN. A recent survey suggested 75% of the owners in the NBA liked the idea of a play-in tournament for 3 to 4 teams. Only 25% liked the idea of a World Cup pool play group stage. We'll see what they vote on next week. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.